This episode is brought to you by the 5-Day Money Challenge. Get your stuff together with money and increase your confidence in just 5 days. Save your seat at whitneyhanson.com/moneychallenge and join in on the fun. Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hanson, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. What's up, guys? I'm recording this from Costa Rica. This place has been amazing. We toured around Rio Celeste areas, which is the Blue Lagoon. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of this. And there's a river and a waterfall that is all bright blue water. It's crazy. And then we hiked near the Arenal volcano. We explored the canopy of Monte Verde cloud forest. We did some ocean paddle boarding to a deserted island, which actually scared the crap out of me because I was afraid I was going to get attacked by a crocodile. And we saw the biggest seashells I've ever seen, like ever. They were huge. It was massive. It was so crazy, but it was so much fun too. So if you want to see some of my pictures from Costa Rica, make sure you go check out my Instagram because I've been posting a ton of pictures there. You can find me at Whitney_Hanson_co. All right. Have you ever wondered what it takes to create a movie or what life in Hollywood might actually be like? If so, you're going to love today's episode. But before we dive into the content, let's go ahead and share a really impressive money win. This money win comes from Ashley. Ashley says, I can't wait until hashtag money win day. This past Friday, we got rid of $76,000 of debt. Such a weight lifted off of my shoulders. We are far from being out of debt, but we still keep moving forward. Total debt paid this year so far has been $86,000. And that's not including student loan debt that we're paying on as well. Hashtag money win. Ashley, you are kick-ass. Congratulations on that. $76,000 is huge. I mean, you're really doing a really good job. And I know you'll be out of debt sooner than you think. But man, that's impressive. So congrats and thanks for inspiring us all. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Today's episode is a two-parter. So I have a two-guest interview today. So one with Catherine Botts and one with David Willis. And so we were all just kind of chatting together. And the reason that there's two of them is because they are working on a project together. So let me give you each of their backgrounds because they're both really impressive on their own. Catherine Botts graduated with a screenwriting degree from Chapman University and has since worked on many sets. Most recently, she was the co-producer on the award-winning indie feature film, I Am Still Here. David Willis is a writer for network TV shows like Sybil and Caroline in the City. He has written and directed numerous award-winning short films. He conveys a comedic and heartwarming story for I'll Be Next Door for Christmas, which is the movie we're going to be chatting about in a lot of detail today. Powerfully on the screen, he's the director, producer, and writer. And Catherine is the associate producer. So they both have really big jobs, and it was fun to chat with them and hear a little bit about their stuff. And all together, between their entire film team, they have an Oscar and 4 Emmys. So these guys really know what they're doing. So in this episode, we talk about crowdfunding a movie. The movie is called I'll Be Next Door for Christmas. What all of that entails, because equity crowdfunding is really an interesting and new way to go that is, I mean, it's pretty rare for the film industry. I think they said they were the first feature full-length film to be equity crowdfunded, which is crazy. So we talk about that. We talk about their careers in Hollywood, which is always interesting to me. They share some heartfelt advice for people looking to break into the movie industry, if that's something that you are trying to actively do, why they chose to create a Christmas movie, and even a mention some behind-the-scenes looks at Hollywood life, and there may or may not be a Fabio cameo in this episode. All of this and so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so excited to introduce you to Catherine Botts and David Willis from the upcoming movie I'll Be Next Door for Christmas. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode. Today, I'm joined by not one, but two special guests today. I have David Willis and Catherine Botts with us. David and Catherine have really a very interesting project that they're working on, and we're going to chat about it in a lot of detail. So I am honored, first and foremost, to have both of you join me tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks. We're thrilled to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is something that I initially got an email from you guys and heard about what you were working on, saw the project, and I mean, spoiler, I'm just going to like spoil it right now. It's a Christmas movie. And I thought that was so cool. But more than anything, the part that I thought was so cool, besides it being Christmas and who doesn't love Christmas, was the way that you guys are financing the film. And I know we're going to get into that. And I think it's really interesting. So for those of you listening in, you're going to love this because it's very unique. But can you guys both give me just like a quick background of who you are, what you do, and more importantly, how you got to what you're doing, which is, I think, amazing.
Oh, thanks. Want to start?
Sure. I'm Catherine Botts. I'm associate producer on the project. And I always loved film. I had a passion for it. Probably started around Lord of the Rings. That's when it really got going for me. But I came out to California. I'm originally from Houston, Texas. I came out to California for screenwriting in college. And from there, the ball kind of just got rolling. And now I'm producing and writing on the side as well. But just kind of like doing all sorts of film stuff.
That's awesome.
I had a different career. I started as a street magician in New York City, which, yeah, I know. Is this your card, Whitney?
How'd you know?
which is actually really good training in show business, because if you're not good, people will just walk away. And so it was immediate feedback and faster than people liking your YouTube video. And it was really good training. I went from there into stand-up comedy. I toured like 200 colleges doing a one-man show. And then I moved to LA and started working in TV, writing for TV, a couple of sitcoms, and then got interested in independent film a few years back because the studios make really expensive movies now. They don't make small movies much anymore, which is a nice vacuum for independent film to fill. Mm-hmm. And there's not that many funny Christmas movies that are made, you know? And when you ask people, what's your favorite Christmas movie? They often mention a movie, you know, like, oh, A Christmas Story, which is, you know, 30 years old. And, or sometimes they say It's a Wonderful Life, which is like 70 years old. So I, like Catherine, I like Christmas movies. So we said, well, I'm going to write one. And that's how this came about.
I think it's super interesting. So the film's called I'll Be Next Door for Christmas, which mm-hmm. already, I mean, I can just picture how this is going to turn out. I think it's awesome. But can you tell me a little bit about the brainstorming process of how you came up with a Christmas movie? Because I can imagine between the two minds, you guys probably had a million different directions you were going. But what helped you determine that Christmas movies was where you're going to focus?
Well, David actually co-wrote the script with co-writer Jenna Park. And so I got to read it after many drafts, and I just loved it. I loved the comedy. I love just kind of the teen angst that went into the main character and just like, oh, my family is so Christmas crazy, and I just want to be a normal girl, you know? I could relate to that.
Yeah, the premise is, well, I wanted to write a Christmas movie for two reasons. First, I love them. Second of all, it's my first independent film, and I wanted something that would be an easier sell in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And Christmas movies, if you'll forgive the pun, are evergreen. They're on cable every year, year mm-hmm. in, year out. And so I thought, commercially, this makes sense, mm-hmm. you know, to make a Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. The other genre that's very popular is horror, but the world has enough horror in it. I didn't want to see any more of that. So I said, let's go with Christmas. And then sometimes writers, we back into something. We have certain restrictions and we need to write to that. So I thought, I want it to be low budget so that we can raise the money more easily in order to do it. However, I want it to be high quality. And one of the things that helps make a movie low budget is few locations. Mm-hmm. If you don't have to move the crew and the cast all over the place all day, then you can stay in one place and shoot it, which is what most television shows do. Most television shows have three or four main sets, and they can shoot high production value because they don't have to keep moving all over the darn place. So I wrote a story that would take place at two houses right next door to each other. Hence the title, I'll Be Next Door for Christmas. And it's about this young woman, 16 years old. Her family is Christmas crazy. They've ruined her life by being so over the top, celebrating Christmas nonstop. She's got an out-of-state boyfriend who's coming to visit her at Christmas, the first love of her life. So she does what any normal teenager would do. She hires actors to play her parents and stages a fake Christmas dinner with her boyfriend at the empty house next door. So you can see where it's going, okay? And you can, and you know how it's going to end because it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wrote something where we could have a lot of fun with the physical comedy, going back and forth and things like that. But it's character-based, it's character-driven, not special effects, nothing like that. It's going to, the movie will live on the strength of the cast and the actors. And when you give actors a fun movie to do, I mean, and watch them take off with it, that's a joy to watch that. It's a joy to make, and it's a joy to watch.
We wanted to laugh more than be scared, so.
I think that's a great answer. I just don't want to be scared. Yeah, right. Totally appropriate. So from each of your perspectives, Catherine, let's start with you. What's your favorite part about this movie, this whole process of directing and helping out and producing?
I just get to learn so much behind the scenes. Like when we registered with Start Engine and we went in for the kind of the intensive workshop, you know, I got to learn so much more than I have in the past working on an indie film about marketing and advertising and copy, you know, like it's all these aspects of the film rolled into one, just besides the creative, which I love regardless, you know, but here's the nitty gritty nuts and bolts of getting it on the page, launching it, and then attracting people to the site.
Yeah. David, what about yourself?
This way I've worked mostly for the networks, for the major networks, and you know they have big nice buildings, and you go there and to the nice offices and you work. But when you go to the independent film world, it's you're starting a small business. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody else in America. Each independent film you see is its own small business that starts from scratch. And like she said, we learned all this behind the scenes stuff that was always taken care of by other people. Mm-hmm. And now it's us. Now we have to do it. Learn about the marketing, because if we have a great movie, but if nobody knows about the campaign, mm-hmm. for the fundraising, mm-hmm. then why, it'll never happen. So we have to drive people there, figure out how to reach out to people and get them to the site. So it's very interesting. It's a real, every independent film you see is, you know, they're kind of like a mom and pop operation. Yeah. Pull you up by your bootstraps. And I have a much greater appreciation for independent film now that I've been on the other side. And when they come together and they're really good, boy, mm-hmm. it's something to watch.
And just utilizing all that social media too. It's like our Twitter, our Facebook, it's like everything that, you know, just to get the word out there.
And it's really rewarding when people connect to the idea of the movie and they like what we're doing. Like, it sounds so corny, but I'm going to say it anyway, Whitney. We have a Facebook page for the movie, and this little old lady, you know, because there's not that many senior citizens on Facebook, I don't think. Anyway, this little old lady put a little post saying, I love this movie, and just something about being endorsed by grandma in Indiana. It just made, you know, it made my heart awesome. Grow three sizes, as they say. It's so corny.
That is so cute.
Yeah, it was adorable. It just made our day.
I love that. I think that's the fun part too, is I don't know if this is true, but I suspect that with bigger budgets and bigger films or any type of TV show, I would imagine that it's like that fun little connection of, oh, I got to read this post that this 85-year-old in Indiana wrote, is kind of missing. So I think that's cool that you guys get to experience that firsthand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's so much, you know, you think, oh, gosh, it's the internet. There's going to be trolls and stuff like that. But Christmas so far is bringing out the best in everyone.
Thank goodness. Wait till Black Friday, man. That's when they really come out. I'm teasing. So, OK, let's chat about this crowdfunding piece, because this is something that is super unique from what I'm seeing. And this is the whole mm-hmm. crowdfunding. So can you guys just give a quick summary of what is crowdfunding and why did you guys choose to go that route with this movie?
Well, I just know that equity crowdfunding really didn't exist until 2012 with the Jobs Act for the U.S. Equity crowdfunding had existed before in Europe, but for the U.S., it finally went into effect in May of last year. And that's why we just took that opportunity to run with it. And so I believe we're the first narrative feature film to do this in the U.S. So
yep, we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. The everybody's used to regular crowdfunding, like Kickstarter.
Sure.
You know, you pay your money, you get a thank you or a T-shirt or whatever. But with equity crowdfunding, it's called Regulation CF, and you own a piece of the company.
Mm-hmm. It's not a donation, which is how awesome. Kickstarter and Indiegogo in the past have been.
Yeah, it's either a donation or you're buying a reward, you know, mm-hmm. And that's great. But, you know, this is a business. This is the movie entertainment business. I think last year in North America, box office was over $11 billion, I believe. And like a third of that was from independent film. So it's a business. Mm-hmm. So I've always felt that if you're going to do a business, then do it this way. And now that this law is available and you can use it, there are breweries are doing it. All these microbreweries are using it to raise money. Restaurants using it to expand.
And real estate too.
Real estate, cars. Yeah. A guy with a jetpack on Start Engine. Mm-hmm. He's raising money with his jetpack.
What?
I know. And it's real. You can see it and it works. It's going to be the first commercial jetpack. There was the Tampon of the Month Club. There's everything that people have out there. And excuse me. So it's, you know, it's time for a feature length Christmas movie.
I think that's cool. So Start Engine's the platform that you guys are on. So people can just search for your film and it'll show up. Is that correct?
Yeah, it'll show that Christmas mm-hmm. movie.
That Christmas movie.
The real difference this made, I mean, you could always invest in films if you right. wanted in the United States. However, with the type of securities you could offer, the average person could not do it. You had to be what the mm-hmm. SEC calls a high net worth individual or a sophisticated investor, which oddly enough does not involve wearing a top hat. And so, but you had to earn, I believe, don't quote me on this, but I think it was over $200,000 a year or have more than $1 million in net worth in order to be able to invest freely in this stuff. The only other way to fund a film was to do a stock offering. So you issue stock like any company on Wall Street, but that cost about $100,000 in fees to issue stock for your company. So this is what the big deal is now people who are not high net worth individuals, the rest of the 90% of this country can invest in companies like ours and the microbreweries and all that stuff now if they go on one of these sites. It's still SEC registered and all that sort of thing, and they list mm-hmm. all the, you know, the warnings and tell you, list all the warnings and say only use risk capital. The SEC really outlines mm-hmm. you know, the pros and cons of it. It's a couple of steps more complicated than say Kickstarter, Indiegogo, where you just go click and put your credit card in. It's like two or three steps more than that because the SEC wants to make sure you mm-hmm. understand this is an investment.
And I like too on Start Engine, you know, if you have a question, you post it for everyone to see. So it's not any private information you're getting, like everyone is seeing all the questions asked and answered. So, you know, you don't know more than the other guy and it's all laid out there on the webpage. So I really appreciate that.
That's a great point. There's no insider thing. There's no, mm-hmm. there's no insider trading because the SEC requires that all question and answers be on the public website. People email us and they go, hey, can I, you know, and they ask a question and we have to say, that's a great question. Please ask it on the website. Otherwise, yeah. we can't answer it. Right. Not trying to be coy here. We just can't answer it.
Yeah. It's such an interesting process. But I think more than anything, I love the leveling of the playing fields on both sides. On a consumer side, where now I can be part of this really cool featured film. And then also for the people that have always dreamed of having their own film, but really struggled with the financing piece prior to this. I think it's a really cool opportunity that we're going through.
Yeah.
That's a really good point because we looked at all 26 investment portals, every single one licensed to do this to see which one to go on. And we looked at dozens and dozens of companies who were raising money. And you look at them and you get a gut feeling, gee, would I put money into this? Mm-hmm. It works both ways. Like you just said, it's an opportunity for the companies, but they also have to look at their own product, who they are, what are they offering? I would look at some sites and somebody would ask a really legitimate question. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to do with the money you raise in the next quarter or whatever? They ask a simple mm-hmm. question and weeks would go by and no one would answer it from the company. And I would think, mm-hmm. gosh, that, I'm not a sophisticated investor, but that doesn't make me, you know, confident. And or they would have kind of a shoddy video. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's...
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's, it's a customer service piece, and it's like bringing it clear back to customer service and phone calls. It's like, you've got to pick up the phone, man. Like, you've got to be able to answer those questions when people are unsure, because at the end of the day, I appreciate you mentioning that it's a business for you and it's an investment for a consumer. So it's a very serious transaction, even though it's lighthearted in the content. But yeah, I think that's a good point to mention.
And I like to purely, for our projects, you know, since it is a movie, I liked how in our video, we included little trailer-esque bits, you know, so you can see like just how it might play out, you know, and I loved our actors that we had on board for these little trailer moments, but you really get a feel and tone for the movie that we're trying to make, you know.
I love the trailers too. I was actually cracking up when I was watching it. I'm like, this is so great. The snowman. That was the piece where I'm like, oh yeah.
I don't, isn't that snowman?
Oh, MVP.
Oh, I'm so glad you like the snowman, because that's meant to symbolize how scary yet funny Christmas has been for this poor 16-year-old girl who's the lead in the movie.
I think the best part too is I can just imagine people watching this and immediately relating. Oh, this is so and so. This is so, like, that. I knew I was doing that every time I saw a different character. I'm like, that's this person. Not saying any names. My family listens to this on occasion. But yeah, for real. I'm like, oh, I get it. So I thought that was really cool.
It's a rule of screenwriting. When you make something really specific, it becomes universal. I know that sounds kind of zen, but then people, when you make stuff really specific, then people find specificities in their own life.
I love it. It's very content marketing as well.
Oh,
yes. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Food for thought. Copywriting, guys. Same type of thing in business. So, okay, let's chat a little bit about this whole concept of like how you guys got to your career, because I can imagine it's a very competitive industry. I don't know much about it, but I've heard and seen friends that tried to become in the film industry in some capacity and just did not make it at all. And so I think it's really cool that both of you were able to find your niche and find your success in that industry. And I have a feeling that somebody listening might be wanting to go down that route, but they are hearing all the negativity of it's not going to happen for you, blah, blah, blah. Just go get a real job. Can you talk a little bit about that too?
From my experience, more and more, I'm finding out, even though I cringe, is the networking. And just going out there and meeting people is so important. You know, you can only do so much behind a computer. And so networking, it brought me to David, because I was going to meet up groups that were specifically about writing and film. And you're just with so many like-minded people that, you know, you all kind of want the same thing. And so then things start clicking, you know, and I imagine that's how it is in finance too, is that you all want to be better with your money. And, you know, once you get that positive energy going, good things happen. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I met David, and eventually to me working on this project with him. And even in the thing I was working on before with female director, we just had an indie film come out. Like, it was really just about meeting her. And then from there, it just spirals into you meet the right crew, the right cast. And it's really the human connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. People talk about nepotism in show business, about how people are always using their relatives, their friends, or things like that. Well, the reason that's true is because there's a lot at stake, and it's who do you trust to have your back when you've been shooting for 14 hours in a row, mm-hmm. and you still need to get a few more shots in. Who's going to be there for you and make that happen? So you want to get into this business. Don't go into it to become famous. Don't go into it because you think you're going to get a lot of approbation from the public, because they're going to boost your ego. And those are really bad reasons to get into it, okay? Because you'll just end up having a hollow life. But if you get into it because you have, as a writer, something to say, if you have stories to tell, then people are going to want to work with you, because the business needs stories. Stories is what built show business. It's what drives billions and billions of dollars in box office every year. Just basic once upon a time. There's this guy. There's this woman. This happens. That happens. Simple stories. And if you can tell stories well as a writer, people are going to want to work with you because they need stories. So you have to be good at what you do and practice. I mean, all the writers I know who are successful, they didn't have a big social life when they first started out. I mean, I hate to say it, but there's a lot of competition. And so they have to hone that craft. And then you have to be seen by people who can give you work. And you just, as she said, networking. You just go out and meet people and be somebody who has A, something to offer, which if you're a writer, stories, and B, someone they can stand to be around. You know, she always has a lot of big personalities and there's a lot of room for forgiveness, but you have to be somebody positive and someone that they can work around because you work long, long hours in this business. I mean, if Bots and I couldn't stand each other, this, you know, this would never work, you know.
He so, gives me cookies.
I mean, what's there not to like then? Oh, you weren't kidding. They're really just cookies, guys.
Chips Ahoy.
But yeah, so that's what it's about. I mean, it's when you first get to Hollywood, it's kind of like magical and big. And there's the Hollywood sign. There's, you know, when you're here long enough, you start seeing celebrities because they live here, you know. And I mean, I remember I was driving down the street in Beverly Hills, there was a Rolls Royce pulled over getting a ticket from a motorcycle cop. So, and as people drove past it, they were slowing down and pointing. And I thought, what's going on? But as I pulled up, I looked over and there's Fabio.
Oh, the Fabio?
The Fabio okay. Getting a ticket. And it was funny because he's standing there just looking, you know, like, why am I getting a ticket? And he's getting a ticket.
How was his hair?
His hair was long. Okay, his hair was long.
Let's talk details.
he was wearing a shirt. Sorry, ladies.
Oh, dang it.
But it was so funny. It's so surreal because it's Fabio, yeah. And he's getting a ticket. And so when you're here and you're around the business and you're seeing this stuff, after a while it begins to kind of get demystified and you realize there are thousands of people here just going to work every day. It's like any other business. You keep going to work and going to work and doing your job, you know. And if you're good at it, then, you know, you'll make a living along with the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So give everybody a little bit of context. How long have each of you been in the business now?
Oh, well, I graduated a while ago, but I feel like I really got serious about it about 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I joined with the female director on that indie project. And really since then, yeah, 5 years ago.
I've been in the business of 127 years.
He just took
back
out his teeth.
Color before sound.
That's great. I think it's cool though. I think that's one of the things that I find frustrating, even in the blogging world, which is kind of what I'm in, blogging, podcasting now. It's people expect the quick win and it just doesn't happen. And so I think it's cool to hear the different stories and to see that in every single industry, you've got to put in the time, you've got to hone your craft, keep practicing. And eventually, if you're good, it will happen for you. So I think that's very inspirational for me, at least. Let's get back to this movie, because I think this is so interesting. When can people expect for it to be released? And then my second question is, if by chance it didn't get fully funded, what does that mean?
Trajectory wise, we're looking at shooting, I think around into July and August, in time to make it for this 2017 holiday season. So it could be that soon that you see our Christmas movie.
That's the target.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. And if we don't raise all the money, the film finances, oh boy, it's an incredibly dry subject, but basically, when you raise a certain amount of money, we get to six figures, we get to $100,000, there are a whole bunch of independent film companies who will match funds and jump in once the initial amount has been raised. Mm. So they'll come in, they'll go, oh, people like this? Oh, okay, here you go. And then they'll finish funding the film, and then we can go into production. And while we're in production, we can then go to other sources who get what's called post-production funds. And they fund all the post-production, which is all the editing, color correction, and a bunch of technical stuff, adding music, things like that, which is the dry stuff that happens for a couple of months after you finish shooting. So That doesn't sound very glamorous at all, and it's not, but that's how a lot of independent films get made, is they get enough to get interest, and then other money flows in, and then you make the film, and then you raise the rest of the money while you're in post-production. It's extremely common.
And part of the money, too, will go towards a snow machine, since we will be shooting potentially in July, Christmas in July. So
exactly. That's awesome. You just need to come to Idaho. You'll be fine.
Is that where you are? You're in Idaho?
No. Yeah, Boise.
Seriously?
Yeah, I live in Boise, Idaho. We get snow in July on occasion. Have you guys been?
No.
Yes, I played a couple. Not. When I was doing a stand-up comedy, I did a couple of colleges in Idaho.
That's so great. Yeah, you probably went to U of I.
I was very disappointed. I did not run into any famous potatoes. I thought I would meet Mr. Potato Head or maybe Mrs. Potato Head, somebody famous.
Yeah.
But they I guess they stay out of the public sight. So
I guess that's how it goes, man. I mean, you can't win them all. So funny. Okay, so if the film does not get funded, you go through the next. So basically, this is just a proof of concept, it sounds like. This is just to generate proof that people care, people are interested, and then that will attract investors further.
Well, if we get to our higher raise, then, and this is where it gets weird, because I'm not allowed to actually talk about the actual amount we're raising. Right. so you have to go to the website to see that, but it's eminently achievable, and we've done very well so far. And if we get to that, then we're fine. We're home free. We don't have to raise it all on Start Engine, is what I'm saying. Gotcha. Just have to raise enough so that people go, okay, got it. We see, and then the rest comes tumbling down at a waterfall so that we can shoot the movie.
Gotcha. Okay. So when do you start officially casting? It looks like I saw on your Facebook page you've got some casting going down right now. Are you officially done?
No. We got Jennifer Tilly on board. Jennifer Tilly has got a Chucky movie coming out, I think, this week.
Oh, or next cool.
Yeah. And Jennifer Tilly, she's an Oscar nominee for Bullets Over Broadway, the Woody Allen film. And she was also in Bound with Gina Gershon. And
Liar, Liar.
No
way. She was in Monsters Incorporated. She was the voice of, what was that character's name? Olive?
Celia. Googly Bear.
Googly Bear. Remember the Monsters Incorporated, the little receptionist?
Yeah.
That's her. She's so funny. And she's also a world champion poker player. She's won a couple of championships. Yeah, I know. So we can't play poker with her in between takes.
Yeah, no, you get embarrassed.
Oh, yeah. We got Jennifer Tilly on board, which so we're playing the next door neighbor whose house the girls use to throw the party for the fake parents.
Ooh, interesting. How do you go about casting? Like, I can't even imagine. This is such an interesting industry to me that I find this stuff so fascinating.
Well, first we go to Boise.
I knew it. You're taking the potatoes.
Scout out some talent there. Yeah. But you know the talented Geraldine, right?
Flood, yes. Yeah. Geraldine Flood is our casting director. And she's been casting for a long time. She worked on Frasier and many movies and TV shows. And she finds the talent for us. Sometimes it's personal relationships. I've known Jennifer Tilly for a while, and she's always been a fan. She's attached to another movie of mine. But Geraldine, our casting director, she finds these actors, and some of it's, I mean, it's mostly an artistic decision who's right for the part, but it's also, there are some commercial considerations involved. Like the lead character is a 16-year-old girl. So if we're looking at a couple of actors and one has, you know, massive social following, that sometimes will tilt the decision towards that for commercial purposes, as long as
they can act.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Because nobody wants to see, I don't care what your followers are. If you can't act, nobody wants to see that. And they don't want to do it either. But you know, there's also an opportunity for anybody to be in this movie, because we're running a contest. You want to tell them about the contest, Bots?
Yeah. I mean, as long as you're a citizen of the United States and you're over 18, we are running this free contest, and it helps us. It helps us get the word out about what we're doing to win a role in the movie. There's going to be 10 walk-on roles, as well as the grand prize winner is a speaking role in the film.
Okay. Tell me what I have to do.
Well, if you go to that christmasmovie.com and you go to our Facebook page. Well, actually, it's the Facebook page that has it on there, right?
Yeah, the Facebook page,
right. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah, the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thatchristmasmovie. And there's a little thing that you click on that says, you can be in the movie. And you click on that, and it's free to enter, and you can enter a couple of times a day and get more and more entries. So if you keep coming back and clicking on things, if you join the mailing list, that's an entry, and you can keep
Twitter, retweeting, liking on Facebook, following us, all those little social media things that we were learning about that, you know, are going to help us like advertise in its own way.
That is so cool.
So the more times you enter, the more sort of tickets you have in the hat. So the more chances you have of being in the movie. And
it's totally mine. Watch out, world. I'm a great tweeter. I'm actually terrible on Twitter, but that's okay. That's super interesting. So guys, for those of you listening in, that's all going to be linked in the show notes. So if you are looking at this and you're like, this is my chance, my claim to fame, it'll be linked in the show notes. So go to that and make sure you enter as many times as you possibly can, because as a startup, which is exactly what you guys are, it means the world to us too, to see that people are resonating and excited about what we're up to too. So it really helps. It makes everybody feel a little bit better. I mean, yeah, I just love when people tweet me or comment or anything podcast or blog related, I'm like, oh, this is so worth it. Like that alone made it so worth it. So I think it's cool.
It's the human connection, you know, and that's what show business is about. If you don't make a human connection, then, you know, your projects fail because you're not making that connection. And there are also some perks on the campaign. If you're on the campaign, you can, if you're in the movie, if you win one of the parts to be in the movie, then you'll be on the set for the stars. You get to meet the stars. But some of the perks are that you can walk down the red carpet with the stars at the premiere.
It's amazing. Are you allowed to talk about the minimum investment?
No, we
Darn.
Can't.
Okay. Go to the website. I know it's they're not being a jerk. You just can't. It's regulations.
I know. I always feel like going, well, can't we just hint at it?
And the lawyers are
like, no. I mean, it's the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. That's what they've decided. Mm-hmm. So
Latin won't fly either. You know, you can't code it.
So, but it is called crowdfunding. Okay. Yep. So,
yep. Guys, go check out the website, startengine.com. If you're interested and you like the financials and the projections, which I appreciated, thank you for that, then give a little back to the community too. And then you could actually see your money come to life and help make this movie a reality. So make sure you guys go check that out. Catherine, David, do you guys have any final thoughts before we officially part ways?
I'm just so excited. This is kind of like cowboys, you know, it's like very frontier, like you're learning as you're going. But I think this has the potential to be a real snowball effect for film financing. And I couldn't be more excited to be at the forefront of it. And I really hope that this will spawn even more projects of different genres, different filmmakers, different visions, just everyone like embrace this new model of filmmaking.
Yeah, it is pretty exciting. We're the first feature length movie in the United States to do this. So it's a pretty good feeling to do something for the first time. And we can't wait for people to join us and to make this happen.
Oh, well, I'm excited. It was fun to chat with you guys. And I really look forward to the movie coming to life and seeing it and seeing how my money went to work too. I think that'll be really exciting. So I appreciate you guys coming on and sharing some thoughts tonight.
Thank you so much, Whitney. It was great to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you, Whitney, for having us.
Of course. All right, guys, what'd you think? I love this episode. The thing that I liked most about Catherine and David is their passion for this project and their commitment to making it happen, and in such a short time frame, too. I think that's really cool. It's very inspiring to me to see people go from idea to actuality in very, very short amount of time. So congrats to you both. I think that's amazing. And I think we can all definitely take some notes from what you guys are up to. The other thing that I thought was super interesting was how equity crowdfunding is kind of leveling that playing field. And I know we chatted about that in the episode, but it was really interesting to me to see that now people, the average Joes like you and me, we can start to invest our money in things that used to be only for high net worth individuals. And that's no longer the case. So I think it's kind of cool that equity crowdfunding is making it so everyday people can be involved with some of these really cool projects too. All right, guys, make sure you go check out the show notes. If you want to learn how to invest in their movie, go there, check it out. And if you want to just join the contest too, to figure out how you might even be an actor in the movie and play a small part in that, make sure you check out the show notes as well and their Facebook page for all of the fun details on how to do all of this. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining in, and I will see you guys next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.